The earth tremble, hear the heavens quake, something stirring at the Savior's grave.
The sun above is shining, angels standing round,
nothing could ever keep them in the ground. Out of the grave he came, out of the grave, on the third day with the power to save. Death is a captive and hell is a slave. He rolled the stone away and came out of the grave.
Sing a song of victory. Sin no longer binds. Darkness has surrendered to light.
The resurrection promise is ours because we know Christ won the battle when he arose. Out of the grave he came, out of the grave, on the third day with the power to save. Death is a captive and hell is a slave. He rolled the stone away and came out of the grave.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
he is alive,
he's alive. On the third day with the power to save. Death is a captive and hell is a slave. He rolled the stone away and came out of the grave. He came out of the grave.
Praise the Lord, he came out of the grave, amen? And now we can have salvation through him. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you for coming out to Grace Bible Church on Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate a risen Savior today. All right, well, let's continue in prayer as we continue with our service today. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its truth. And Lord, I thank you that we serve and we worship a risen Savior today. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just worship you with all of our heart and mind, soul and strength. Lord, I pray that we would glorify you with our lives. Everything that is done here today, Lord, whether it's behind this pulpit or behind me there, Lord, I pray everything that would be done would be for your glory. And we'll give you all the praise for what you're going to do. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Brother Denny will come with a hymn.
It'd been 3 days, three of the longest days in their lives. They couldn't sleep. Every time they'd close their eyes, they'd see Jesus suffering on the cross, hanging there in that horrible, horrible torture and pain. What would the Jewish leaders do today? The Passover Sabbath was over. It was the first day of the week. Sun was just coming up. Disciples were trying, what should we do today? Should we run? Should we hide? Suddenly, Mary comes running in the room, says, the tomb is empty. Is he alive? He is alive. He is risen. He's alive. And with that statement, their lives were changed. The world was changed. Eternity was changed. It means victory. Victory over fear. Victory over death. Victory over sin. It's a time to sing and to keep singing. Praise God forever and ever. Let's stand and sing. He lives. 140. Let's go. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Sing it out! He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You asked me how I know he lives, he lives. So within my heart, second verse, in all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he. My heart. Great first thing, this third one now. Rejoice, rejoice, oh Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. How long? Eternal. Hallelujah. To Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how.
I know He lives. He lives. Oh, where am I?
Amen. Let's turn over to 139. He lives. He lives. 139. Christ the Lord is risen today. We'll sing the first verse, shake hands, and then we'll come back and do another verse. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumph high. Hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah.
Shake hands with those around and give them a good resurrection morning greeting. Because He lives. Let's sing it through two times. Because He lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Just because He lives.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for singing. You may be seated.
Good morning. I have a number of thank yous here to share with the congregation.
First of all, we have a thank you from Diane Varner. It says, "Dear church family, thank you for the cards, phone calls, visits, and prayers, especially the prayers. They are very much appreciated, as this appears to be a very long journey for me. I would appreciate your continued prayers on my behalf, your friend in Christ, Diane Varner." And she is at home now, but her health is not good. We also have a thank you from Leah Fissler. She went on a missions trip with her class from Christian school. "Dear church family, our missions trip to Texas was full of many activities. We packed tracts for missionaries, had a VBS at church every day, and helped some older missionaries clean up around their homes. Our team verse for the week was Proverbs 29:18a, where there is no vision, the people perish. Thank you so much for your financial support and prayers during my trip. Love in Christ, Leah." And we have another thank you, and this is for the folks that helped with the Easter egg hunt. "To our family at Grace Bible, words alone cannot express how very thankful I am for the outpouring of love, help, candy, and filled eggs for the Easter egg hunts." Notice I said hunts. We had enough eggs, 2,400, to be able to do a second hunt this past Wednesday evening for the bus ministry kids. Even the teens were included. "Thank you so much to the Deacon Board for supporting this outreach. Thank you to the Gideons for the New Testaments that were given to each and every child. Thank you to all the wonderful helpers that gave up their Saturday mornings to help me. Thank you for the donated eggs, candy, money for candy. Extreme outpouring of love and support is greatly appreciated. May God above bless you for all you gave and did. Thank you in Christ, Helen Kelly." And there's one more, and this one is from Jane Rice. "Dear Pastor Rich, Pastor Dave, deacons, and church family, on behalf of the Panama Healthcare Evangelistic Team 2019, I want to personally thank you for your support and prayers for our trip. On Monday, April 8th, Rich, Amanda, and I needed to get yellow fever vaccinations because we were traveling to Guatemala on April 14th. During that situation and how things fell into place, Amanda said, it's a God thing. I can say we saw many God things, both before and during and even after the trip." I'll skip down a little bit. I'll post these on the bulletin board. I'm shortening them up a little bit. God was in control the whole time. He wanted us in Panama, and he continued to be in control. The most important number, 426 salvations and a total of 1,320 patients treated medically. Please continue to pray for the Word of Life in Panama and the two churches as they begin the First Steps follow-up program with the new converts. Blessings, Jane, Rich, and Amanda Rice." Now, if you'll take your bulletin and we'll look at the announcements. There is an insert in your bulletin with the list of the flowers that were placed in memory of folks. At the bottom of the list, there is flowers that were placed in honor of folks from our congregation who have passed in the last year. If you are a family member of one of those folks, you're encouraged to take those flowers along with you, as well as any of the other flowers that were donated in memory of someone. In your bulletin, you'll see our regular scheduled services. There will be no service this evening. You can spend time with family. Wednesday evening will be our regular prayer service and youth ministry. On Saturday, the 27th of April, there will be a live hike and lunch. If you're planning on attending that, you need to let the Smiths know so they can get a count for the food. Drop down announcement that was in last week, but I don't think we mentioned it. On Thursday, May the 16th, or Saturday, June the 1st, Pregnancy Ministries will be sponsoring a Walk for Life. There's information on the table in the foyer if you would like to participate in that. The one of those walks will be in Waynesboro, and the other one will be in Norlo Park in Chambersburg. You'll see on the bulletin there's an announcement about Vacation Bible School. There are sign-up sheets in each section that should be passed around. We do need more helpers. I'm supposed to stress that we need more helpers. Okay? If you have any questions about that, see Helen Kelly or myself or Pastor Rich, and we can answer your questions regarding that. There's also flyers on the table in the foyer regarding CEF Day Camp and Camp Tehiglo for the 2019 summer camping season. And the church board will be assisting in the cost of that for young people that are associated with our church. You can, if you have questions, see us and we can clarify that for you. And then also on the back page of your announcements, you'll see there's a note there. Any college or any high school student or college student who's graduating from school, let us know. We'd like to honor them in a special service, I believe, beginning of June. Thank you. And at this time, Joe George will be in charge of receiving the morning offering.
The ushers, come forward, please. Let's bow in prayer. And Peter says, blessed be the Lord God in heaven. Blessed be his name forever. We thank you for the resurrection that you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for so great a salvation. We thank you that we can come before you this morning, giving you praise and honor for what you've done for us. Your death, burial, and resurrection has given us hope. And we rejoice in your goodness to us, Lord. As we take up this offering, Father, we ask that you would give wisdom in the use of it, and that the gift and the giver would be blessed by you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Wow. Let's take our hymn, sir, the number 138. 138, another great Easter hymn, Christ Arose and Up from the Grave. What a great song to sing. Let's stand as we sing. Number 138, then we'll remain standing for prayer.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph of his foes. He arose up the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph on his foes. He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Arose, with a mighty triumph on his foes. He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. Remain standing for prayer, please.
I failed to mention this as we started. I was so excited from the song. If you are a visitor, if you could please fill out one of these visitors tabs and hand it to myself or Pastor Dave as you leave. We would love to have a record of your visit. Hopefully you've been already made to feel welcome this morning. It's good to see Brother Philip here. I'm from school. Praise the Lord to see him here. And a few that we need to lift up in prayer here. Beverly Robinson was brought to my attention with some health issues. So please continue to pray for Beverly. Of course, Don Crunkleton will be having surgery tomorrow for that pacemaker issue. So please continue to pray for him. Of course, my wife Kathy having her surgery on May 2nd. That's coming up pretty soon. Please continue to pray for Diane Varner, as Pastor Dave mentioned. And then also, Heidi Thayer is having some issues from the procedure she had on Wednesday. And she's going through some pain there. Ron, I talked to Ron. And so please continue to pray for Heidi as well. So let's stop for a moment and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for everything that you do in our lives. I thank you for the fact that we worship a risen Savior today. And Lord, we can celebrate that and shout glory and hallelujah. And Lord, I pray that we would do that not only verbally, but in our hearts. Lord, I pray for those that I just mentioned. Beverly Robinson is having some health issues. Lord, I pray that you'd have your healing hand upon her. Lord, we also pray for Heidi Thayer as she's having some issues with the procedure she had done on Wednesday. Lord, I pray that you'd have your healing hand upon her and remove any pain that she may be going through. And I pray for her upcoming surgery very soon. I pray that you'd just lead and guide in that area. Kathy having surgery on May 2nd. Lord, I pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom about that surgery, Lord. And then also Don, Lord, with his surgery coming up tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you'd lead and guide guide and direct the doctors in that surgery as well. And of course, Diane has been struggling for such a very long time. Lord, I pray that you would just put a special touch on her, Lord, and raise her up and heal her as well. Lord, I pray that you be glorified through all of their situations, all of their lives, Lord. I pray that everything that they do and we do would bring you glory. So now, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon the rest of our service as we continue to live for you, serve you, and then today worship you. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated as the choir comes with the special music of Only by His Grace.
My Redeemer took my His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free.
His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing.
He spilled his blood to fill my soul.
His crown of thorns to dawn when the morning breaks, eternal, bright, and fair.
don't know about you, but I sure have been blessed from the morning service on the parking lot to breakfast, which is going to be hard to beat for future breakfasters in the choir. Just a real blessing this Resurrection Sunday. As we continue in our service, we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verses 30 to 49. If you're able, please stand for the reading of the Word. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in Psalms, concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Thank you. You may be seated.
Sorry. A little bit longer scripture than some of the other deacons have had to read, so appreciate him in doing that. And I just want to, it's been a very special week here at Grace Bible Church, and I do want to thank everyone that has participated, from the Easter egg hunt to the Good Friday service. Brother Denny led the singing, and Jan played the piano for us, and Kathy sang a special, Beth did, Brother Sam Wilcock and Shirley participated in a special as well. Pastor Dave and Pastor Herm preached. And so I thank all of those that participated in that service. And also want to thank the Fistlers, Jennifer and Tom, for their work. And I believe Terry and Janice as well for the breakfast this morning. And Pastor Herm again preaching in the morning service. It's been a great day in the house of God. Amen. The choir just did a phenomenal job. I want to again thank them and Brother Greg for blessing us in music. And now we can spend time in the Word of God as we again celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Something that I heard a few years ago that really was a blessing to me, especially when it came to resurrection, was a poem that was read during a sermon by Pastor S.M. Lockridge. I don't know how many of you may have heard this particular poem, and I probably won't do it justice as Pastor Lockridge did when he first recited it. but I will do the best that I can. It's called It Is Friday. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying, but they don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter's denying, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walk into Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what is happening to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death is won. Sin has conquered, and Satan's just a-laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday's a-coming. Well, Sunday's here, amen.
Amen.
And we worship a risen Savior. So the title of my sermon this morning is, And They Knew Him. And They Knew Him. I appreciated Pastor Hearn this morning sharing from the perspective from the tomb. We're going to look a little bit after that this morning as we looked, as Brother Joe just read from Luke 24, verse 30 through 49. You know, one of the most important questions in our world's history is Christ risen? The answer would deny religion and bring life to Christianity. Jesus was our substitute on the cross of Calvary. He paid the penalty for our sin, and he paid it in full so that we could have the forgiveness of sin this morning. In our Good Friday service, we looked at a passage in John chapter 19. And my portion of that scripture was verse 30, where Jesus, as he gave up his spirit, cried out, "It is finished. It is finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is paid in full." And this morning, this Sunday, we can celebrate the truth that Jesus conquered death and the grave so that we could have salvation through him. So that we could be born again. So that we could be alive spiritually and have a personal relationship with a risen Savior. You know, Buddha's not coming back. Muhammad is still in the grave. But Jesus promised that he's coming back. And we serve and worship a risen Savior this morning. Looking at the followers of Jesus, it had been quite a week for those that loved Jesus, that those followed Jesus. It began with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where Jesus, riding on a colt, heard amid shouts and praises for the wonderful works that he had done, the miracles that he had performed. They had waved palm branches before him and threw clothes out before him as he rode into Jerusalem. The disciples and the followers shouted and praised, for the promised Messiah had come. Now the time had come for Jesus to fulfill his promises. The time had come for him to stand before sinful men. The time had come for him to fulfill Old Testament prophecy. And the time had now come for Jesus to die for the sins of all mankind. Jesus would be wrongly accused. He would be spat upon. He would be beaten relentlessly, tortured beyond recognition. And he would be nailed to a tree. Jesus would go through all of this. He would give his life that we might be saved. Many of you know Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But you know what? I have some encouraging words this morning. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. You know, Jesus would be put in a borrowed tomb with a large stone rolled in front. And as the women would come to embalm his body that Sunday morning, it was obvious that they had forgotten Jesus' precious words. These words of preparation, these words of prophecy. If you want to look back with me to the beginning of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre to bring spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And as it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And verse 8. And they remembered his words. They remembered Jesus' words. You know, the angel would remind these women that Jesus had advised them all that would happen to him. And we see this instruction here in verses 8, chapter 18. Go to Luke chapter 18, verse 31 and 33, where we can see that Jesus gave this instruction. And they had forgotten these precious words. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 31. It says, Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon. And they scourged him and put him to death, and the third day he should rise again. They forgot these precious words from Jesus Christ about what was going to transpire. As I have that thought, let's stop for a moment and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for the blessing that it has already been, from starting with the sunrise service and Pastor Herm preaching on the magnitude and power of an empty tomb, to the singing of the choir, and now the time that we are spending in your word. We thank you that through the sacrifice on the cross and the glorious resurrection, that now it brings life to Christianity. Now we can have a personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon us this morning as we continue to spend time in your word. I pray for that one here that maybe has never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. But they would no longer go through life not having the peace that passeth all understanding, the peace that only comes through a personal, intimate relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon me this morning as I spend time in your word. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit and you'd be glorified by everything that is said here behind this pulpit. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, these joyful women would share what they had witnessed with the disciples. Peter would run into an empty tomb. And then, as we will read here in a second, two disciples would reason among themselves as they went on the road to Emmaus. Jesus would join these men as they were puzzled, they were confused, they were maybe challenging thoughts and challenging their conversation as they reasoned among themselves. And Jesus would bring comfort, not yet revealing himself. You want to look in verses 24, chapter 24 again, verses 13 through 17. It says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which they had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." He did not reveal himself yet. Verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" He asked them an important question. Why are you sad? In other words, why are you reasoning? Don't you remember what I said? Now jump on over to, let's see, verse 24, 25 and 26. It says, "And a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." They're kind of answering his question. Why they're sad? Why they feel this way? Why they're reasoning? Verse 25, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" He's challenging them again about these forgotten words and what they know true from Old Testament prophecy, because the one truth about the Word of God, whether Old Testament or New Testament, Jesus is woven through all the Scriptures. Jesus is woven through all of the Scriptures. And these disciples, his followers, had forgotten Jesus' words. They were afraid. They were confused. They doubted. They were discouraged. And when I think about the disciples and what they were going through at this particular moment, it brought to my mind believers. How we have the Word of God. We know the words, but how often do we forget? How often do we forget the precious words of Jesus, the inspired and preserved Word of God, and we go through life afraid? Or confused, or maybe reasoning amongst ourselves, or maybe doubt or discouragement. And we allow those things to creep in our lives because we forget the precious words of God. That being said, we really need to become students of the Word of God. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart so that when we are challenged by this world and we are challenged by Satan and we are challenged by those wicked people in our lives, we won't reason, we won't doubt, we won't be afraid, we won't be discouraged because the Word of God is in our heart. We need to become students of the Word of God. But in Christ's perfect timing, the time had come for him to reveal himself. Starting in verse 27 here, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone no further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them." Verse 31, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight.
And they said one to another, did not our hurt burn within us while he walked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Now the word indeed there, the Greek is ontos. And it's the only time that that word is used in the Gospels when it comes to referring to Jesus' resurrection. It was used another time that really, I think, has great impact on what we're looking to do. Because the word ontos means truly, verily, truthfully. So in other words, Jesus has truly risen from the dead. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. As we look at Jesus' dealings with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and how he shares the living water of salvation, and she went into the city to tell others. Look at verses 41 and 42 as we continue. She's already done that. She's had her meeting with Jesus, and she went to tell others about this this encounter with the Messiah. And so they all go come, and they want to hear Jesus. And so starting in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. They had heard Jesus talk. In verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed truthfully, truly, verily, the Christ, the Savior of the world. So as they recognize Jesus Christ as truthfully, truly, indeed, the Savior of the world, we see this same the same application of the word indeed here in our text, saying the Lord is risen indeed. That means the Lord has truly risen from the dead. We'll talk about his appearing to Simon here in a minute, but first we're going to look at Jesus' appearing brought comfort. Jesus' appearing brought comfort. Looking at our text here, verses 30 through 36. And it came to pass, as he sat with meat, and he took bread and blessed it, and he brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were staying with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You know, Christ's appearing rekindled a spiritual fire. They began to talk about spiritual things together. They were comforted by Jesus, but then they comfort each other in the encouragement of his words and in the encouragement of the words that they shared with one another. And my thought was this, you know, how important is the encouragement of others? How important is the encouragement of the Word of God? How important is the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I've talked to many in this church that have heard the phone ring. That have been encouraged and about the way this church approaches each other and prays for one another. I think every week we preach, we read thank you note after thank you note after thank you note of the encouragement of the believers at Grace Bible Church. How important is that? How important is the encouragement that we get from the Holy Spirit when we know Christ is our Lord and Savior? I want to share this real quick. The young man that I led to the Lord a few Wednesdays ago at youth. I was sick the following week. I really wanted to get with him and give him a discipleship book and a Bible, and I really wanted to get with him, but I was sick that Wednesday, so I got with him this past Wednesday. And this is how amazing God is and how His Holy Spirit works in our lives. This young man is not from a Christian home. And you, sometimes when someone comes to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you kind of want to see if there's some fruit. You know, see if it was sincere. And I heard some good reports the Wednesday that I wasn't here that he was wanting to lead in singing and he was wanting to help. And this is a young man that did some things in his church that he wasn't allowed to come here for several months. Same young man. And so I was encouraged to hear about some of this fruit that had transpired, but this is what really blessed my heart. As I met with him, I pulled him aside before we met on Wednesday night, and I gave him the book and the Bible, and I said, "So how's it been going since you trusted Christ as Savior?" He said, "You know, Pastor, it's kind of weird. It's like whenever I start to have a bad thought or maybe say something, I kind of feel bad about it. I don't know what that's about." He doesn't even know what the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit's working in his life. Didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. I said, "You know what that is? You trusted Christ as Savior, and now He indwells in you, and the Holy Spirit indwells in you, and He's going to tell you if there's things in your life that aren't right, or warns you before." Holy Spirit's power in his life, and he didn't even know who the Holy Spirit was. You know, the Holy Spirit longs to bring us encouragement and comfort in our lives, to rekindle a spiritual fire. And I've talked to many in this church that talk about revival. Revival starts here. Revival starts with Rich Unger. Revival is individual and appealing to the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts and rekindle that fire. Jesus met with these men and rekindled a spiritual fire. And we see that in that same hour, they rose up and went to Jerusalem. That same hour. These two that were reasoning, they were sad, they were questioning, they were probably discouraged. Now we're so encouraged about the comfort they got from Jesus that same hour they went up to Jerusalem to meet with the others. You know, that thought of quitting soon vanished at the truth of the risen Savior. And there might be somebody here this morning that's thinking about quitting. Maybe the world's crashing down on you. Maybe the enemy and Satan's just trying to tell you to quit. Well, hopefully you're here this morning and you are encouraged not only by the singing of this wonderful choir, but hopefully by the Word of God and the truth, indeed, that Jesus Christ is risen and quitting will not be an option. But just the opposite. That by the encouragement that occurs here this morning, that fire will be rekindled. And that we'll be able to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know, they went and they were also encouraged by hearing about the appearing to Peter. Now, there's no record in the Gospels about Jesus' special appearance to Peter, but Paul does record it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you'd like to turn there with me, if you could. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 4. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12." Now you're probably sitting there going, "Well, wait a minute, that's not Peter." Well, Luke uses his Hebrew name Simon, while Paul uses Peter's Greek surname Cephas. And it's believed that the reason why Jesus made this special appearing to Peter is because we all know Peter as what? Yes, the emotional one. The one that, as Pastor Herm talked about this morning, that jumped out on the boat. The one that said, "I'll never forsake you." And he said, "No, but before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." And he does. And it is believed that Peter got this special appearance by Jesus because he probably felt so unworthy to do anything for Christ, because of his denying him. But Peter repented and was forgiven, and Jesus would use him as a pillar to establishing Christ's church. And you might be here today and needing some forgiveness. Well, let me encourage you this morning that God is in the forgiving business. God is in the forgiving business. And so this removes any doubt, which just brings us back to the word indeed, that Jesus has truly risen from the dead, because we know that through John's gospel and Matthew's gospel that Jesus had appeared to the women, and he appeared to Mary Magdalene and now Peter, and that prompts the statement, the Lord is risen indeed. He has truly risen from the dead. And so today, we're here at Grace Bible Church on Resurrection Sunday, and we believe and embrace the truth that Jesus has risen indeed. What does that do in our lives? Does that produce a spiritual fire? Does it rekindle a spiritual fire in our lives? It should. Does it encourage fellowship? It needs to. Will it turn our talk to action? It must. Because this world's counting on it. Your coworkers, they don't know it. They may not know it. But your coworkers are counting on it. Your neighbors, they're counting on it. Your lost family members, they're counting on our talk becoming action, as it did with these men. You know, Christ's appearing brought them peace. Going back to our text, if you went with me to 1 Corinthians, verses 36 through 39, it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And when he had said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." You know, Jesus brought peace to troubled hearts. And he longs to bring that peace to our troubled hearts. Because we go through life. If we strive to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ and be a faithful follower of Christ, we're going to go through times where we have troubled hearts. But Jesus longs to bring peace to our troubled hearts. That's why he came. That's why he died. And that's why he rose again. That ultimately we would have peace. We would have personal or eternal peace. We would have eternal peace. Because outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it is impossible to have true peace. It's impossible to have rest in our souls. It's impossible. Might be temporary. But true peace, as we talk about the word indeed, ontos, true peace, only occurs in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there's no blessed hope, there's no blessed assurance. It only comes by Jesus. As he would say in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man's going to have peace. You're not going to have rest in your soul unless you go through Jesus Christ. Second, we see that he tries to bring temporal peace. He brings temporal peace to the believer. Peace that we have here on earth. A peace that passeth all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. We looked at that last week a little bit. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's a peace that this world cannot understand, and it's a peace that this world cannot get outside of a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a peace that Jesus wants us to show this world in our own lives. Second, we see Jesus appearing brought composure. Jesus appearing brought composure. Verses 37 through 40. "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. You know, Jesus appearing calmed their fears. You know, the disciples had been gripped with fear for quite some time. After Jesus' crucifixion, they were gripped with fear. They were fearful for their lives. They were fearful for the king they had followed that was now dead. And now they were fearful or afraid of Jesus' appearing. But Jesus brought composure to their fears. Jesus' appearing calmed their fears as he showed them his hands and his feet. And by showing them these things, by saying, come and see me, he was saying, I have truly risen from the dead. Jesus' body wasn't a vision, it wasn't a ghost. It was a restored human body, but at this time it was much, much more. It was immortal. Jesus would be able to appear and disappear at will. But the fact that his physical appearance was before them brought composure to their fears. He wasn't a spirit. He had risen. He had risen indeed. Jesus would even eat with them to even show more that he was still in a human body. But these faithful followers had forgotten Jesus' precious words, that he would rise again, and had many troublesome thoughts with fear and doubt concerning Christ and his word. And I think that's the same troublesome thoughts that often we have in our own lives, because we may not be as diligent in studying the Word of God or memorizing the Word of God. And sometimes we allow fear and doubts concerning the promises and truths from the Word of God in our own lives. But yet these things so displease the Lord. And that's why it's so important that we do not forget these precious words of Jesus. You know, we see here the hypostatic union, which is Jesus' appearing shows that he was exactly what he said he was. He was 100% man, and he was 100% God. He was exactly what he said he was, and he also showed that he had written. You know, many have attacked Jesus' divinity. Many have attacked that Jesus was, in fact, man, and he was God. And we know the Jewish leaders did, the Pharisees and Sadducees. They continually to accuse Jesus of blasphemy and saying, you know, how can you say that you are God? But those skeptics didn't stop there. We have skeptics today that are continuing to challenge the divinity of Jesus Christ. But in this appearing, Jesus brings composure to doubt. He brings confidence to fear, because Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Third, we see that Jesus' appearing brought completion. It brought completion. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high, until you receive the power from the Holy Spirit. Christ's appearing was a fulfillment of prophecy. Now it is believed that several days have transpired between verse 43 and verse 44 as they traveled to and fro from Galilee to Jerusalem. But when we look at Jesus' precious word, tetelestai, it is finished. It has been completed. It has been paid in full. When Jesus said it was finished, he meant it. And here he assures them with the enlightenment of the Old Testament, of the Word of God. Jesus gave them insight to the Word of God and showed that the entire Old Testament points to the Messiah. Jesus opened their eyes to the Scriptures. And once again, in a reference back to the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit longs to do in our lives as believers. Longs to illuminate the Holy Scriptures to us. I've talked to people that really struggle about the whole big debate about translations and the big knock on the King James. It's so hard to understand. And I've shared this before, and the first question I ask them is, how much time are you spending in prayer before you go into reading the Word of God? Are you appealing to the Holy Spirit? Are we asking, we talked about in our men's prayer meeting yesterday, you know, the importance of a confession of sin before we start making supplications and requests to God. Are we confessing our sin and making sure that sin is forgiven and washed under the blood? And then are we appealing to the Holy Spirit, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, to illuminate the Word of God to us? And that's what Jesus is doing here, is He is helping these men understand the Scriptures, because it's so important in our path to spiritual maturity that we really try to study and understand the Scriptures and how important the Holy Spirit's work in our lives in illuminating the Word of God to us. But now the Scriptures concerning Christ at this point were completed. Now if we repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness, we'll receive it. Now if we believe in the completed work on the cross and the completion of the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we can receive salvation. You know, Luke wanted Jesus appearing here, and he writes it to the Greek-speaking world, but ultimately wanting Christ's message of God's love and forgiveness to go out to all the world. And so my question is this as we finish up. What are we doing with that message? Are we telling this world that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind? For your sins and mine? Are we telling the world about what we're celebrating today, about His glorious resurrection? And that we worship and serve a risen Savior. One who got victory over death and the grave so we could have salvation through Him. Are we telling this world that He's promised to come back again? And I believe we'll see Him again. Amen. What are we doing with the message? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for our time here today. Lord, I thank You for Your Word.